is over because Molly did better than me last week. Good morning.
Good morning.
Woohoo! I want to say thanks to Wally for taking care of preaching last week, and I had somebody tell me already today that my job was over. I need to look for another job because Wally did such a good job. So, got to tell you, Wally, it's not going to happen for a while. Just to let you know. So, I think he's okay with that. But we had a great weekend last week. You know that Diane and I share the same birth date, even though she's so much older than me. Actually, she's 4 years younger. And so May 13th is a pretty significant day for me because it's our birthdays. It's also the day on which we were engaged. And I also have an uncle whose birthday is the same day, who's 20 years older than me to the date. And so that's an amazing thing for us. And so there is something I need to add on to our birthdays. I was born on Mother's Day. So I was born exactly 67 years to the day prior to last, maybe it was 57. No. Prior to, anyway. I was born on Sunday, Mother's Day. Diane was born on Friday the 13th. So we have in our family the true example of angels and demons. So what do you think? Does that make sense? Not really? Why is everybody groan and stuff when I say those things? that's probably pretty true. So anyway, I just want you to know that 15 years ago I started a series of sermons, and I'm going to repeat that series of sermons today. I don't have any of the notes left from the last time, so this is all new except for the book. The book is called Slaying the Giants in Your Life. It's by David Jeremiah. Mike, pardon? You read it? Well, come on and preach it, will you? No. But Mike went out and bought a copy of this at Half Price Books yesterday for less than $8. Is that right? Got it on Kyle's discount. So that's an amazing thing. Let me give you some of the topics. I gave these to Mike so that he could get ready. But today's fear. Then we have discouragement, loneliness, temptation, procrastination. But we'll get to that in a few weeks. So anyway, guilt, anger, resentment, doubt, jealousy, and those are just a few of the things. It'll probably take us all the way through the summer. And so if you buy this book, you'll have it. You'll have some of him, but you're going to get some of me too. Is that all right? So anyway, stand with me as I read the scripture today. So Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy 9, beginning of verse 1. Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today to go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than you, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the sons of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the sons of Anak? Therefore, know therefore today that he who goes over before you as a consuming fire is the Lord your God. He will destroy them and subdue them before you. So you shall drive them out and make them perish quickly, as the Lord has promised you. Do not say in your heart, after the Lord your God has thrust them out before you, it is because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. Whereas it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out before you. Not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart are you going to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God is driving them out from before you. And that he may confirm the word that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, how it comforts us and brings us peace. And Father, today, We're going to hear about fear and our need to face those fears head on and to realize that these situations are out of our control and to submit and to surrender them to you and to follow you in obedience as you lead us on. Lord, I pray that we will not forget your love for us, your care for us, and that most of all, the peace that passes understanding that only you can give for us, to us. Lord, I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Fear. Anybody ever been afraid? Anybody in here ever not been afraid? You know, I have this phrase for those who raise their hands when I say something like that. It's liar, liar, pants on fire. Is that okay to say? I don't know. Fear. According to the dictionary, fear is the painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil. It's an apprehension of impending danger, anxiety. Facing something scary over which we have no control. Actually, how much do you and I really control? How much is under our control? You know, I've heard it said that worry, you know, you worry about things. And I used to say worry is a sin. It's not something we all do, but worry is to dwell on things and worry about them is a sin. So anyway, I find out there's very little in my life I have control over. Someone once said that 9 out of 10 things never happen that you worry about. And the one that happens is out of your control. So why worry when you can pray? 4 things we need to remember. 1 is that He will be with us. God will always be with us. 2nd thing is God will always empower us. God will always equip us and He will always enable us. And those are things that we need to realize that it's only God who can do those things. We can't do any of those things on our own, but He can. David Jeremiah in his book, Slaying the Giants in Your Life, calls fear the most deadly of all enemies. The most deadly of all enemies. Got talking about this in phobias. Any of you have phobia? A phobia? Like, there was a lady that said that, I can't remember her name, who shut her door in 1949 and came out of her apartment only 3 times after that in the next 50 years. She was afraid of her surroundings, and she allowed the surroundings to lock her inside her apartment. I have a fear of bridges, and many of you know that, and many of you, in your wickedness, have sent me pictures of unbelievable bridges. Bridges that I wouldn't even think about going on. Somebody even sent me one that the bridge was like 2,000 feet in the air and it had a glass bottom. So you could look down. Yeah, I'll go on that. It was your mom, it was Becky Barker. I've had some experiences with bridges. It started in 1993 when we took Michael to college. Michael went to the University of Cincinnati. And on the way back, it was foggy. And we got to the bridge just north of Kings Island. You know the bridge there at Mason? That is 4 lanes. Well, they had 2 lanes closed. And so there were 2 lanes still open, and we were coming across. And all of a sudden, my vision narrowed. And my hands began to sweat. And my heart began to beat like it was going to pound out of my chest. And I put my foot on the gas and let it up, and put my foot on the gas and let it up, and Diane said, "Will you please just get over this bridge?" But it was one of those things that that's where this phobia started. And Stacy, doing her graduate work, was in Greensboro, North Carolina. And we would go down 77, and I would drive until we got to Marietta. Y'all been down that road? Anybody been down that road? Well, right when you get to Marietta, there's a bridge across the river. It goes to Parkersburg. So I would drive off in Marietta. We might get something to lunch, but then Diane would get in the car, and Diane would drive the rest of the way. We went to Chesapeake City, Maryland a couple years ago, and there was this big iron bridge. I don't think I'd ever seen anything that big, except in one I'm going to tell you about next. And it just almost went, almost like a roller coaster, went way up in the air and then way down. That was the first bridge I was really ever afraid to ride across. I did not look down. It's a fear. A phobia is an irrational fear, isn't it? But then the bridge of all bridges that I've been on, we went down to stay a year or two ago at Jerry and Brenda's place in Anna Maria Island. We fly into Tampa. Nice flight. Rent a car. We start down toward Anna Maria Island, and there's this thing called the Sunshine Skyway. Anybody ever been on that bridge? It is horrendous. Because it's like a roller coaster. You go up and you crest that hill, and then you go down and around, and you can see the end of the bridge when you start, but I don't want to. I'm sitting in the back seat and I'm going. And that's what they were doing. And I have a cousin who lives just a little ways away from Jacksonville, Florida, who is an engineer. And when she found out I was on that bridge, she said, I would tell you the sway of that bridge, but it would scare you to death. There are times when the wind blows just a little bit hard, they close the bridge. I kind of wish they'd close the bridge before I got there. But anyway, fear, phobias, irrational fear. And yet, I have trouble with that phobia, but I can face fear. 1995, I spoke at our daughter Stacy's graduation. 3,500 people. And I could not preach. So I was talking about things that I'm not necessarily comfortable with. And so I went up, and then they gave me a time limit. How do time limits work for me? How do they work for you, Wally? I had somebody one time tell me I preached till I ran out of words. I'm not sure that's exactly true. But I was nervous in preparation. I was nervous when I got up to speak, and yet when I was finished, I had a peace. I am terrified to speak in front of people. Now people say, no, I can't believe that. I can tell you, the first Sunday school class I ever taught, my knees were shaking so badly, I didn't think I was going to be able to stand during the whole thing. And yet in all those things, for whatever reason, I took every speech class that I could ever take, maybe because God was preparing me for this. I can remember also being at First Baptist Heath. We were members there for a long time, and that's when I finally gave in to God's call on my life for ministry. And the pastor would be gone, and one Sunday he asked me to preach for him. So I'm sitting down there in the first row getting ready to preach. I am crazy nervous. And the minister of education's up here, his name's Howard Garrison, he kept saying, well, Tom's going to get up here in a few minutes, and I'm sure he's nervous. And then he'd go on a little bit longer, and he'd come back and say, Tom, I'm sure you're nervous, but it's going to be all right. And the more he said that, what do you think? The worse it got. But one of the ways that God confirmed his call in my life is that when I got behind the pulpit, there was peace. Everything was okay. All fear was gone. It's an amazing thing that God does for us. And the fact that God's in control is the secret. If there is a secret to overcoming fear, it's realizing who God is and that God is in control. We can never live our lives completely free from fear. Wally, I'm sure when you started this seminary thing, you were concerned, if not any better, about how it was going to go for you. I remember talking to you right before the Hebrew class. Whoa. Kyle, I'm sure that there was fear for you at some point when you're going through this PhD. Am I? Can I? Will I? Let me just give you. Y'all familiar with Psalm 23? Psalm 23:4 says this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Our fear can be overcome by realizing that God is always with us. His presence surrounds us. The Bible says he goes before us, he comes after us, and he goes with us. And we need to realize that God is always there. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." It is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. That's repeated a couple times in the Bible. I'll get this together in a minute. And one of them is in Joshua chapter 5. Joshua's going in, getting ready to go lead the people into the promised land, and here's what God says to him. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." Wouldn't that give you confidence if you knew that? No man, no thing can stand before you as God guides you and leads you. Just as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Do we ever think about those things when we are facing our fear? Fear of the unknown. You know why we're afraid of the unknown? Because we don't have control over it. When God called me to the ministry, I was afraid. To be honest with you, I did not want to do this stuff. I didn't. Everything in me said no. Diane was pregnant with Michael, our first. And I just told God, you know, I can't do this. What if? What if that? And what if this? And, you know, we're expecting our son in November. At least we believed he was a son. We didn't have the privilege of all the stuff you all have now where you can know the sex of the baby while it's in the womb. As a matter of fact, I didn't want to know. But I had a pretty good job. I was making money. One of the problems that was with me was lack of faith. And lack of faith is a fear that God cannot do what God wants to do. God called me to the ministry, and I told God basically to take a hike. And for 10 years, I ran from God. And finally, God confronted me face to face. Some things about fear. Fear ignores or disregards God's plan. Fear disregards God's plan, and it disregards his plan for his people. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, in verse 19, "Then we set out from Horeb and went through all that great and terrifying wilderness that you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord your God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. Do not fear or be dismayed." What was the promise for God's people? It was the land that he had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he leads them to the brink of the promised land, and he says, "Don't be afraid. Don't fear, because I'm going to go with you." Have you ever gotten to that point in your life where God leads you someplace and you know the promise of God, but you refuse to go in? You refuse to believe it. And what we need to know is that God has a plan for us. I'm not sure I always know what that plan is for me, but I do know that he has a plan. And I know that God wants to lead me through that plan, even when I don't think I can do it. And the truth is, most of the time, I know that I can't do it. And so I stop. I hesitate. Sometimes I back up because I'm not in control. And when things aren't in my control and things aren't in your control, we are afraid. Fear can stop us. Fear can paralyze us, and fear can cause us to run away from God. My favorite book in the Old Testament is the book of Jonah. Turn there. He's backing those guys they call the minor prophets, but just so you know, there is nothing minor about the prophets. And it is in my Bible somewhere. I'm finding it. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. And I identify with Jonah. God called Jonah to go to a wicked, mean, evil people, a people who were known for torturing captives. And I think Jonah was afraid. And so in Jonah's fear, he ran away from God. By the way, in Hebrew, the word Jonah means dove. This is my testimony. God called, I ran away. But God got Jonah's attention, didn't he? Over the side, down, and the whale. Oh, wait a minute, it wasn't a whale at all. The Bible calls it a great fish. You know what I believe about God? God can use any fish to take care of Jonah and swallow him up, couldn't he? Could God use any fish? Is it possible God used a guppy? A big guppy. I just think about these things. So Jonah ran away. Paul wrote to Timothy these words: "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind," or self-control. God, that spirit of fear does not come from God. It is something we conjure up on our own because we don't know what's coming. Or maybe we don't like what's coming and we don't want to face what's coming, so we become afraid. And fear can cause us to run. Fear can paralyze us and keep us from going forward with God. Do y'all believe that God can do what He says He'll do? Do you? Do you all believe that God can equip us to do what He's called us to do, that He can empower us to do that, that He can enable us to do those things? Y'all believe that? Then why is it we are overcome with fear sometimes? Maybe it's because... That's right, Stephen. I know it too, for the most part. Sometimes I get it out of whack. Fear distorts God's promises. Verse 27 of Deuteronomy chapter 1. "And you murmured in your tents and said, 'Because the Lord hated us, He has brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us.'" What short memories. What short memories. Why did God take them out of Egypt? Because He loved them. Because He cared for them. He led them out of slavery to deliver them to the land that He had promised. Where are we going up? "Our brothers have made our hearts melt, saying, 'The people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. And besides, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there.'" Y'all know that Goliath was a descendant of the Anakim? Goliath was 9 feet, 6 inches tall. Ken Ledbetter once made a cutout, and we had him up here one time when I preached about Goliath. And he went all the way, almost all the way to the ceiling. Now, you go stand over there, and when you're standing face-to-face or side-by-side with someone that big, does it scare you a little bit? It scared the whole army of Israel, didn't it? It took a little boy. Well, I don't know how old David was, somewhere in his teens, that God had used him to overcome his fear. He killed bears and he killed lions. And so when he saw Goliath, he said, "This guy's nothing." Now, that's Tom's paraphrase. Sometimes fear turns God's promises around in our mind. Did God promise this land? Did He promise to give it to them? And they got to the place where we can't do this. See, they took their eyes off God. It's kind of like Jesus in the back of the boat. You remember when the disciples were going across the Sea of Galilee, and the storms came, and the waves rose, and the wind blew, and they were scared to death, and they said, "Doesn't anybody care about us?" But you know what they forgot? They forgot Jesus was in the back of the boat. Isn't that like us sometimes? We find things that we're afraid of, and we forget that God promises to be with us always, to never leave us nor forsake us. And fear can bring out our worst. Causes us to tremble, to find ourselves, well, I heard one person say, up the myth tree and under the grumble bush. And we begin to give all kind of excuses why we can't do what God's called us to do. You know, there's that question we like to ask, what if? What if this, or what if that, or what if, you know, we can do all the what ifs in the world, but what if does not take into consideration God's love for us and God's presence with us. There's some things that, and we're going to talk about these later in this series, but there's some things that fear will cause us to say. One is, where's God when I need Him? Where's God when I need Him? You ever feel like you've been abandoned? And we get to situations in our lives and say, where is God when I need Him? I felt that before. I'm not ashamed to say I felt that before. You live your life in such a way as you're doing everything you know to do. You're doing the right thing. Your life is as right with God as you can possibly make, and then bang, something happens. And I don't know how I got there. I don't know why it happened. And it just seemed like I was all alone for a while. And then I did. I said, where are you? And we think, where is God when we need Him? You know what we need to realize? He's there. He is there. And when we start asking that question, where's God when I need Him, that causes us to doubt Him. Are God's promises really true? When He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, can we take Him at His word? And there's some things that just follow doubt. One is discouragement. Well, He's doing it for you, Belinda, but He's not doing it for me. He's doing it for you, Crystal, but He's just not doing it for me. And so I begin to become discouraged. I doubted Him, I become discouraged, and then the last one is defeat. Three dreadful D's: doubt, discouragement, and defeat. And they will always happen when we let our fears overwhelm us, when we take our eyes from God, when we think that we're in control and that we order our future instead of realizing that He's in control. Fear discourages God's people. You know one thing about fear? Fear is contagious. Jeremiah calls fear the most contagious disease there is, because fear affects not only us, but everyone around us. Fear just jumps from, I can't do it, Mike. I just can't do this. And then all of a sudden, Marty's saying, Mike, I know, we can't do it. We can't. And then Joe says the same thing. And all of a sudden, we are paralyzed by fear because we were afraid at first. I'm looking for that person when that's going on that says, we can because He does. When we're afraid and we seek and we're finding other people to fall into the fear boat with us, we need somebody to stand up and say, He is in control. He is on the throne. He will get us through this. We need someone to speak a prophetic word from God. We can because He's able. I've seen these big, I don't know of any specific one in particular, but you've seen in movies and, well, that there's a battle going on and someone gets up and runs away. They run away from the battle. What happens? If I'm running away, Wally's right beside me or right behind me, and then Jerry comes and we start to run away from what we're supposed to do because we're afraid of the enemy. You ever seen the movie The Patriot? Where they're in that battle and people start to run away and Mel Gibson says stop, and he starts to carry the flag up the hill, and people turn around and follow him. We need somebody who will lead us to follow God. And that person could be any one of us. When people are afraid, step up and lead. When your family is afraid, step up and lead. When the church is afraid, step up and lead. When anyone in your circle of friends is afraid, step up and lead. We get discouraged. You know, we forget sometimes that the biggest giant of all is God. The biggest giant of all is God. He's bigger than any giant that these people encountered. He is bigger than any giant that you and I will encounter. We just need to let him go forward. We need to let him fight the battle. We need to let him lead us into his promises. Fear disbelieves or doubts God's promises. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 29. Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness, where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night and in the cloud by day to show you what way you should go. By the way, I've talked about this a million times, or maybe not a million. That's a little hyperbole, exaggeration. But have you ever looked back at your life and seen God at work in your life in the past? Have you ever done that? Have you ever taken the time to look back over your life and see how God has delivered you from certain situations? How is it that we are faced in a situation we don't know what to do, and so we begin to become fearful? How is it, or why is it, that we don't look back? We need to look back and see how God's worked in our lives. You can, I guess once in a while we need to look in a rearview mirror. I challenge you, if you've never done it, do it. Put together a timeline from the time you first can remember anything all the way up until where you are, and see how many times God has been at work in your life. And what I do know about that is that if God has worked in your life in the past, he will work now. And he will continue to work till Jesus comes. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He began it. He's not going to run away from it. He's going to continue to develop it until he comes again. God leads us to the brink. How many of you came to the meeting we talked about building renovation a few weeks ago? How many? Now, those of us who were there came to the conclusion that we believe that God is leading us to renovate this building. Is that correct? That God is leading us to do that. And so if we believe that God is leading us to do that, there's only one thing that will keep him from doing that, and that's fear of giving sacrificially. Are we afraid to give to God what is already his? Are we afraid to give to God maybe more than we think we can give? And I used Sharon and George's testimony a few weeks ago. I'm going to tell you about it now. Sharon and George, I think, were stationed in Florida at this time. And they realized they only had a certain amount of money left at the end of every month. But they were convicted to tithe, and so they began to tithe, and here's what they found out. Even after tithing, they still had that same amount of money left at the end of the month. Is God able? He is absolutely able to supply all our needs. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, my God is able to supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But if you look ahead of that, we take that verse out of context sometimes and isolate it. But if you look at the verses ahead of that, the church at Philippi was concerned with meeting Paul's needs. And they met his needs sacrificially. I want you to know that if we're going to renovate this building, as I believe that God wants us to do, and as you believe God wants us to do, it's only going to be through our sacrificing not only ourselves, but also our possessions, our finances to him. And listen, I want to tell you this. It doesn't matter if you give a lot or give a little. I can find in the scripture, when Jesus blessed the giving of the woman with two mites, giving all she had. And if that's all you can give, God bless you. But God has prospered many of us beyond our ability, I guess, beyond our need. And so will we let fear keep us from doing what I believe and what you believe God wants us to do? Because that's the only way that we will not get this done, is to give in to fear, to believe that God can't. We know where he's leading us. The question is, will we go in? See, the people knew that God was leading them to the promised land. The question was, will they go in? Here's some questions. Do we still trust God? Will we let him take the lead? And will we surrender our control to him? Pretty simple questions. Do we trust him? Will we let him take the lead, and will we surrender control to him? Something else, fear is disobedience. Fear is disobedience when we let fear keep us from following God. And when we do that, we are disobedient. When we think we must be in control, we are disobedient. Fear is overcome only when we submit to God's leadership and allow him to be in control. I should stand up and let you talk about this verse, Belinda, but I won't. When we are disobedient, that's sin. James 4:17 says, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." You know the right thing, and we fail to do it, to us it is sin. Something else about fears, we need to get to the point where we confront our fear honestly. What is it that's causing us to be afraid? We need to ask God to show us what it is that's causing us from keeping us from moving ahead. We need to claim God's promise of protection. Got several verses here. Write them down. Go home and take a look at them. They might be on the screen. I think Catherine will have them. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Maybe I need to read that again. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 118, verse 6. "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Proverbs 3:25-26. "Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your feet or foot from being caught." I'm not finished yet. Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." If we trust in him, we'll be safe. Isn't that what it says? We don't need to be afraid. There is no one that can harm us that God doesn't know about. There is nothing that can happen to us that is out of God's control. He is always on the throne. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. What is the cause of overcoming fear? Why can we overcome fear? He says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 43. If you want to talk about some encouragement here, here it is. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. We are his children. We belong to his family. I want you just, this just came to mind. Last Wednesday, we did a study. We do one every Sunday based on the sermon previous to that. And if I find this book, I know it's in here. And I've lost it. Anyway, I'll talk about it next week because I'll find it next week. Or Deb, you were there. What's the verse that says that God sings over us? Zephaniah, that's it. Whew, I was looking at another book. You know what? I would say Deb knows more about the Bible than anybody sitting in this room. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. And the point Rick made on Wednesday was that God sings lullabies to us. He makes us safe. I can remember when my kids were small, and we had this thing, I don't even know what it was called. It was a little changing table, maybe. And I'd have the older two kids, I never did it with Sarah, but I had the older two kids stand on that, and I'd back up a little bit. And I'd put my arms out and say, jump. Sometimes they'd sit down. They'd look at me and they'd shake their head. But they knew that I was their dad, and they knew that I loved them, and they knew that nothing would happen to them. And so, finally I got to the point where I put my arms out and said, jump. And they jumped. And I caught them. Do you suppose they overcame their fear because they knew their daddy loved them? Isn't it possible, just possible, that we can overcome our fear because we know that our daddy, our father, loves us and wants the best for us? He sings over us. He delights in us. We're his children. We don't need to be afraid. Numbers chapter 32. Beginning verse 6. But Moses said to the people of Gad and to the people of Reuben, shall your brothers go to the war while you sit here? Why will you discourage the heart of the people of Israel from going over into the land that the Lord has given them? Your fathers did this when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up to the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the people of Israel from going into the land that the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled on that day, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men who came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, none except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. So the question is for all of us, are we cultivating our relationship with God? Are we wholly, with all our hearts, following him? Are we doing whatever we need to do to follow him? Second Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says this, For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give a strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward Him. The NIV says, whose hearts are fully committed to Him. The New American Standard says, those whose heart is completely His. So that's the question for all of us this morning. Is our heart completely His? Because if our heart is completely His, then we don't need to be afraid. If we are wholly committed to Him, we don't need to be afraid. We will realize all the time that He is in control. Is it possible for us to get there? It must be, because Joshua and Caleb got there. They trusted God. And when everybody else was coming back and they were saying, hey, the fruit is really good over there. All the stuff is good, but there are some big men over there that we can't beat. Now, I want you to know that's Tom's paraphrase. That's not what the Bible says. But Joshua and Caleb came back and said, this is a piece of cake. Because they realized that God was going before them and that God would fight their battles for them. We don't need to be afraid when we trust God. We don't need to be afraid when we follow Him. We don't need to be afraid when we realize that God is in control. Don't let fear paralyze you. Don't let fear keep you from doing what you already know God wants you to do. Don't let a situation, don't come to a situation and say, I can't do that if God has called you to do that. There are some people in church now, have been in the past, will always be people in the church that God is calling to do something and they say, I can't do that. I can't do that. Well, you know, when I coach girls basketball, I'd ask them to do something, and they say, Coach, we can't do that. You know, after a while, I got tired of hearing them say, Coach, I can't do that. You know what they were really saying? Is, Coach, I won't do that. They didn't think they could get it done. They didn't think they could succeed. They didn't think that what I was telling them would really work. You know what they found out? When they decided to do it, they found out that they could. They found out that it does work, and they found out that it does make a difference. Don't tell God you can't, because that means you won't. You remember Isaiah in the temple? And God said, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And immediately, because Isaiah had been in the presence of God, and his heart was right before God, said, here am I, send me. So when God calls you to do something, or if you know He's already called you to do something, don't let fear stop you. Don't let fear paralyze you, because there is something every one of us can do in this church. There's a need for every one of us in this church in a ministry. Don't let fear keep you from doing that. You can overcome the giant of fear. The question is, will we? Will we allow God to help us? Will we allow Him to help us to conquer the giant of fear? Let's pray.